paragraph Zayin, page Dalit.
V'ze b'chinas yifne v'yitol yodov. This is why the Shulchan Aruch says that one of the things a Jew is supposed to do in the morning, al pi halacha, is to relieve themselves and wash their hands afterwards. Shetzrichim mikoidim litchois moisroi samacholim. A Jew is required to first get rid of the waste matter from food, kidei sheyuchal lahazbia betzach tzachos nafshoi aydei hamacholim shocha mikoidim, in order for the neshama to be able to glow from the food that the person ate, they have to first get rid of the moisroys, the excesses associated with that food. Kidei sheyuchal lidlois hamayim kanal, in order to be able to draw the waters that are needed to nourish the emunah. We said earlier that who's the one who's qualified to draw those waters? You need an ish tvunais. How do you become an ish tvunais? Your nefesh has to be shining. There has to be tzachtzachus ha-nefesh. How do you get your nefesh to shine? Through achila dikdusha. The Pasuk said, v'hizbiya tzachtzachus nafshecha. That through sviya, by eating to content, you know, in the right way, that's how you make tzachtzachus ha-nefesh. That's how you make your neshama shine brightly. That's what makes you an ish tevunais. Because there's a Pasuk that says, v'nishmas shakai tevinei. One whose neshama is in full gear, that person has tevuna, and the one who has tevuna has the ability to draw the waters, because there was a pasuk, v'ish tevunois yidlena. The ish tevunois is the one who's qualified to draw the waters that are needed to nourish the emuna. So now Rav Nosson Zal is stressing that part of that process of eating properly means being able to get rid of the excesses. Kimavoyershom, as was explained in that chapter on Likutei Moran, Shalidei achilas hatzadik hu metzachtzeach nafshoi. That when a tzadik eats, the eating brightens his neshama. Aval ho achila tzricha birur. But we know that eating requires refinement. There's a refinement process. Ki yesh boho achila achizas hapsoilis. Because we know that in food there is psoilis, there is waste matter. Validei shenifne, and through the act of a person going to the bathroom, v'nidcha hapsoilis l'chutz, and forcing the excess or the waste out, ve'ein nishar kim dakus v'zachus u'achilo, and all that remains in the person is only the fine part and the pure part of the food, shehu tzvias hanefesh, that's what nourishes the neshama, that's what feeds the neshama, shemishom achilas usvias hatzadik, and that's the most important part of the eating and nourishment of a tzadik, ki atzadik enoi mizoin klal mipsoiles uachila, because a tzadik doesn't draw any nourishment or pleasure from the excesses in food. This works on two levels. Let's say you have a person who's sitting down to eat. Now we know, based on the laws of science and nutrition, that there's a certain minimum of certain important things that the body should get on a daily basis. Those people especially that are makbetid healthy know about this. They know that you need, let's say, a certain amount of grain, certain amount of protein, this, that, and gomarno. The other stuff that people eat is extra on two levels. Number one, it's extra because it's more than is necessary. Because we're being told that a breakfast does not need to be an eight-course meal. It doesn't have to be like they advertise on the boxes to have your glass of oranges, your toast with butter, and your this. We know that some of that stuff, the butter or the sugar in the coffee or the, you know, some of that stuff is excesses. Where if you cut it out, it won't subtract at all from your healthiness, begashmias, and it certainly won't subtract from your healthiness, beruchnias. Because we're told that as a general rule, the less gashmias, the more ruchnias. The more a person is able to take away, subtract from his gashmias, the more his neshama is given the ability to fly higher and to do more of what it needs to do. So number one, you have just the number of items that you eat, which the assumption is here, that when the Pasuk says, tzadik oichel l'soiv anafshoi, that a tzadik eats to nourish his neshama, it means he isn't impressed with the advertisements, that if this thing looks so attractive, there's nothing as pretty as a glass of fresh squeezed orange juice, he's not going to be impressed by how pretty it looks. If it's necessary, he's going to have it. If it's unnecessary, even if you give it to him for free, he's not going to buy it, period, because he knows that it's against his health, chas v'shalom, or it's not, it's extra, that kind of thing. It's in the category of maestros. I'm not giving literal examples. I'm saying those kind of things. That's on one level. Then number two, even within the foods, the person who's capable of eliminating all extras and going only by what's needed and what's healthy and what's constructive, that's a tzaddik you're talking about already. Now, even tzaddik, within those healthy items, the way Hashem created the world, there's this concept of going to the bathroom, which implies that even if you're eating only kosher, now here again, the whole Klal Yisrael is considered tzaddikim on a certain level by the fact that they rule out 98% of what the rest of the world can eat is unkosher to us. So for starters, every single Yid who's keeping a kosher home, automatically the assumption is he's trimming 98% of what the Welt eats, the 4 million types of fish and other things, unkosher fish and unkosher meats and unkosher wines and all kinds of things that they eat that we don't eat. That right away puts all of Klal Yisrael in a category of tzaddik, bechinas tzaddik, va'amech kulam tzaddikim. But then within Am Yisrael, we're saying take it levels further in terms of strictness of hashgacha, or in terms of a tzaddik, even when stuff is 100% glat kosher, saying no thank you. It's not part of my lean machine. It's not part of the minimum that I need to live on. So I don't want it for free. I don't want it, you know, no matter what, period. And then even within that minimum, there's a biro that's needed. There's the waste matter, and there's the part that's used to that stays inside the body to serve the nefesh, as Rav Nosson Zal is going to discuss right now. Ki hatzadik einoy nizoin klal mipsoilas v'achila. The tzaddik doesn't draw anything from the waste matter of the food, rak mizakus v'tzachos v'ruchnias v'achila, but rather he only draws on the purity and the clarity and the spirituality of the food. That's what makes it that when he eats, his neshama, if you could put a meter on his neshama, you would see his neshama light up, you know, and rise, jump, as a result of his achila, because of the fact that the achila is so much bigdusha. It's only intended for the needs of the neshama, not nowhere for the pleasure of the body. Rak, however, we know that once Adam HaRishon Kaviyochel made the mistake of choosing from the Eitz Hadas Toivora, where good and bad were mixed together, because he ate from that, that made a mess of the whole world. That made it that on earth, there's no such thing anymore as good, as total good. Even the good has to have bad mixed into it. And the biggest problem in this world is the fact that there is this chalant, where everything good and bad are mixed together, and it becomes the whole avoid of a Jew in life, becomes sorting out, you know, being able to figure out what's the good part, what's the bad part, discarding the bad and holding on to the good. So once Adam HaRishon went ahead and made the decision to eat from the Eitz Hadas, which was Toivora, good and bad, Kiyodua, as is known, Behechrich Sheyie Behoachilo Achizas Hapsoilis. That's what made it necessary, and that's what made it factual, that even in our food, even if a person's eating perfectly healthy food, there has to be a psoilis to it, there has to be a waste in it, a waste matter to it. When a tzaddik eats, this breakdown is made perfect to perfection, that he separates the good from the bad. The only part that he retains and uses is the part that's good and the part that's spiritual. Lahavdil, people go for operations or people go for examinations to doctors, and the doctor checks the person's blood and they say you have sugar. you have sugar mean? It means your body isn't a good enough computer. It's not spitting out what it was supposed to spit out. The body's supposed to have a computer in it that knows exactly what's good for it, what's bad for it. It's supposed to be able to sort it out, take the waste matter or the stuff that's unhealthy for the body and get rid of it, break down the fats and everything. Rachmanot son, a person who's overweight, you know, to a certain excess, sometimes it's because certain things that are fats which are unhealthy for the body to retain, and yet the body doesn't have the ability or the knowledge or the kiddusha, whatever it is, to be able to break it down and zip it out of the body. So it ends up holding on to it, despite the fact that it's harming itself, in a sense, by holding on to it. Whereas he's saying here that the tzaddikim, by them, this process is perfected. Where by them, they're only eating the toiv, and within the bira that has to take place in the toiv itself, as a result of chet odam arishon, by them it's being done perfectly well. So what they retain in their body is only the purity of the food. This is a madrega. If a person who's not ready for it mentally yet tries to do it, it could lead them to depression, or it could lead them, you know, to it could make a bad effect on their life. Because this is a real madrega. For a person to say that I'm prepared to make a commitment to eat healthy food only, and to eliminate, again, the 90% of junk food that many religious Jews eat and that kind of thing, you're talking about a person who's saying that they're prepared to go up a level in a certain serious way. And when a person does that and they're not ready for it yet, that kind of thing, naturally there could be bad side effects, that kind of thing. The tzaddik he's talking about here doesn't get his high from, doesn't get his happiness from food. He learns 30, 40 pages of Gemara a day, or Shulchan Aruch or Zohar Kodesh, he's getting his high from that. He's getting his high from putting on tefillin. The Gemara says that one of the rabbis, they saw him walking around all day with a big smile on his face. So they asked him, what are you so happy about? He said, tefillin kamenachnayo, I put on tefillin today. So we see that for him, he wasn't impressed with sugar frosted flakes. He didn't need that to bring a smile on his face. He got the smile on his face from the tefillin. Whereas people who don't have the tefillin, people who aren't getting the strength and the simcha that they need to get from other things, for them, food or other pleasures are crutches, in a sense, to be able to get that simcha. That's what it boils down to be able to get that high from. Just as when it comes to all pleasures of the Sidra Achra, this is what's written about it, that any kind of pleasure that the Satan's going to offer you is a temporary high. That's the difference. That's the difference between Kiddusha and Tumah. He can offer you highs, and his highs are sometimes even bigger than the Ruchni's highs, but there's a difference. His lasts minimal amount of time, whereas the Ruchni's could be a permanent or an eternal thing. That's the difference. And Lahavdil, you know, they know it even when it comes to nutrition. That they say, let's say people want to run this, that they eat certain things that are heavy sugar, it gives you that temporary high, but then you fall after, you know, it takes you down afterwards, and you got to be very careful, you know, to know how to play with that. Yes.
So, you know, okay, you don't make it fat if you do it in moderation.
Exactly. It's the moderation and it's using correctly. If a person knows that they're not in the mood to learn right now, they're a little bit depressed or a little bit, and they know that if they're going to eat this little chocolate bar, it's going to bring a certain simcha to them, which will give them that extra push that they need now, that they'll be able to learn for an hour. We're not talking about for 12 hours, for 1 hour. Then it could be a mitzvah to a certain extent for that person, based on the madrega that he's on. You understand? That's the point of it. Ve'ikr habirur nishlam al yedei shenifne ve'doiche hapsoilas v'hamoisrois l'chutz. Rav Nosson Zal says here that when is this refinement completed? It's completed when the person goes to the bathroom after they finish the whole meal and after it's been digested and processed in the body. And then the person goes to the bathroom and pushes out the psoilus. They get rid of psoilus. For oz nishar rak hatoiv v'hadakus v'haruchnius shebemeichel. And then what the body retains, if that person's body is working correctly, what the body retains is only the purity, literally, the purity, the dakus and zachus and ruchnius of the meichel. Shaydeze mitzachtzeach nishmosoi. That's what gives the ability for the neshama to shine. That gives that person the ability to be one of those who draws those waters that nourish the emuna. That's the time for doing that is the morning. As we learned, the Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, Chadoshim labekorim rabo emunasecho, that every single morning there's a concept of hischachus and being marbe the emuna, renewing and increasing the emuna. And if we're saying that in order to increase the emuna, you need those waters, and in order to get those waters, the neshama has to be shining brightly, and in order for the neshama to shine brightly, you need achila dikdusha. And what seals achila dikdusha is going to the bathroom and getting rid of the psoilus and everything, then we understand why the Shulchan Aruch says that a Jew is supposed to go to the bathroom in the morning. That's part of that avoid of the morning, of the tikkun for the nefilas ha'emuna. V'zeh b'chinas yifne v'yitol yodov. This is why the Shulchan Aruch puts the two together. Go to the bathroom and then wash your hands. Then water. Ki achakach tzorech litol yodov b'mayim. Because as soon as the person comes out of the bathroom, he's supposed to wash his hands with water. Shenim shochim mimayim hanal. The water that he's washing his hands with is related to those waters that we spoke about, the mayim amukim eitza b'levish, the water that represents the eitzos which nourish the emuna. Mibechinas mayim amukim eitza b'levish, shehim bechinas mayon umikve mayim shehim mitarim mikol hatumois. And this is related to the concept of a mikveh, or a well, which is the item which purifies a person from all kinds of tumah. And here, Rav Nosson Zal is going to go off on a tangent for a minute. He's going to give us a little bit of an explanation as to how a mikveh works and how water works. Relay emuna. You're going to understand why is mikveh, or why is washing your hands, such an important part of Yiddishkeit. Here he's going to sneak in a little explanation of that. Ki kol hatumois heimibechinas kfirois. All types of tumah. Whenever we talk about tumah in Yiddishkeit, the source of it all is kfira, anti-Hashem. Tumah means anti-Hashem, which is synonymous with atheism, opposite of emuna. Ki avoyda zora shehem hakfirus klulim mikol hatumois. Because we find that when the Gemara discusses avoyda zora, it says avoyda zora is koilel all kinds of tumah. Ki avoyda zora metame kemes. We just learned recently the Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos, where Rabbi Akiva says that Avodah Zorah is metame not just kesheretz, like the Chachamim say, that it's metame b'maga, but it's also metame kenida, because it's tumas masa, it's even tumas masa. So that what the Gemara is trying to show us is that this item called Avodah Zorah, which is opposite of emuna, that's koilel all kinds of tumas. So that every type of tumah that exists in the world is plugged in some way to avodah zorah. Ki ikar hakdusha v'hatara hu Hashem yizborach, because the center of holiness and purity is Hashem. Shehu kodosh v'tohor. Hashem is the epitome of holiness and purity. K'may shekosev, as it says in the Chumash, ki kodosh oni, I am holy. U'k'may shem razal, and as the Gemara says, the Mishnah at the end of Yuma, where it says, Ma mikveh metaras es Yisrael, afa kodesh baruch, ma mikveh metaras hatmeim, afa kodesh baruch metaras Yisrael. So we see that Hashem is the epitome of kedusha and tahara, which means that tumah is anti-Hashem. Tumah is avodah zorah. The source of all tumah, the foundation of all tumah, is pigam emunah. And when a Jew has lack of faith, it means he's far from Hashem. That's what makes him vulnerable to all kinds of tumah. And it's from that, it's from the concept of lack of emunah, the concept of from being far from Hashem, that's what makes the person, that's what brings the person to all types of tumah. Ki kol hadvorim hametamin hu machma sherechoike mehashem yizborach ugdushosoi. Because all items that give off tumah, the tumah that they give off is based on their being distant from Hashem. Whether it be a sheretz, whether it be a mace, whether it be a needle, all of those items. One I saw in Likutei Halachos, in one place in Yoredei, he talks about Tumah Shrotzin, and he says, why is it that a sheretz is metameh? Why is it that we say that these rodents are metameh? The reason that one of the reasons it's given al pi kabbalah is because of the fact that this thing is so puny. It's the opposite of Hashem. Hashem is oiz. Hashem oiz lam. You know, Hashem is the epitome of strength and gevura. This item, its puniness, represents its distance from Hashem in a sense. And there are certain other items where it's because of their azus, because they're too strong. That's where their tumah comes from. In other words, either extreme is not Hashem. Kavyochel Hashem is chesed plus gvura. Hashem is like a mix. And anything that's either too weak is treif, and too powerful is treif. You understand? Because it's not Hashem. Either one of those is not Hashem. So we see that the whole concept of tumah comes from lefi ha-hisrachus from Hashem, which means lefi ha-hisrachus from emuna. V'alkein Iker hataro mikol hatumo yisu al yidei mayim. And it's for this reason that the main thing that helps a person become pure from all types of impurity is water. Shenim shochem ebechinas mayim amukim eitza. Because all water is plugged in to this concept of these deep waters, which represent the eitzois, which are the battery for the emuna. That's what nourishes the emuna. Shehem bechinas mayne hayishua. They represent the wellsprings of salvation. There's this term in Hebrew, Mayne HaYeshua. Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says, Usha'aftem mayim besosoin mi Mayne HaYeshua. You will draw waters with simcha from the wellsprings of salvation. Sheheim mayon umikva hametarin mikol hatumais. This refers to the springs or the mikvahs that purify Jews from all kinds of tumah. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, mikveh Yisrael Hashem moishioi beisora. That a mikvah is Hashem. Hashem is a mikvah, which saves a person from all kind moishioi beis tzora, which saves a person from tzora. Rav Nosson Zal here is going to make a very important connection, which you need to know in terms of terminology al pi kabbalah. There are two words. There's the word etza, which means advice, and there's the word yeshua, which means a salvation. And in kabbalah, those two words are identical. The Arizal, he's going to quote the Arizal in a minute, who says that etzois and yeshuois are synonymous, because the biggest yeshua that a person could possibly have in life is to be given good advice. The epitome of a yeshua is when a person is given the right etzah. And the opposite of yeshua is when a person doesn't know what to do, that they're lacking an etzah, then they're lost. And have these, we'll see in a minute, he's going to prove it from psukim. So now Rav Nosson Zal showing us, look at this. The pasuk says that a mikveh is a yeshua. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. Mikveh is synonymous with Hashem, because we learned earlier that Tahara is synonymous with Hashem. Hashem is Kodosh V'Tohar. So anything in this world that represents Kedusha and Tahara is Hashem. And to the extent that something's Tomei, it's based on its distance from Hashem. And now we're being told that Mikveh is Yeshua. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem Moishioi. It's a Yeshua. Why? Because we saw earlier that Mayim is synonymous with Eitzos. We quoted a pasuk, Mayim Amukim Eitza Belevish, that water is advice. The water is the thing that gives the person the advice. Ki Iker HaYeshuois Heim Eitzos. Rav Nosson Zal says, because the main Yeshuois of an individual Jew or of Klal Yisrael is advice. Shehem Bechinas Netzach Hoid, which the Arizal says that advice comes from Netzach and Hoid. We said Mibein Shnei HaKruvim. When Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu from the Oyel Moed, it was Mibein Shnei HaKruvim, and the Kruvim symbolized Netzach and Hoid. Chesed Gvura Tiferes are called Ovois, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, which correspond to the right hand, the left hand, and the trunk of the body. The legs are called bonim. They're represented by children. That's the kruvim through which Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu. All the etzos that Moshe Rabbeinu needed came from Ibn Shnei Akruvim. Shenikroim Yeshuois, Kiyadua. And we know that the spheros of Netzach and Hoid are called by the Arizal Yeshuos. Those spheros are nicknamed Yeshuos. Kemoy Shekosov, watch and prove it. We say in the davening in Mariv, V'sakneinu bi'etza toiva milfonecha v'hoishienu. Look how the two go together. That when a person is zochar to be given etza toiva, that's Yeshua. Those two are synonymous. V'hoishienu mehebra l'man shenecha. U'kamay Shekosov, there's another pasuk where it says, U'tshua b'roiv yoyetz. The tshua comes when you have a lot of advice. When a few people get together to discuss something, Baroiv Yoetz, that when you have a group of people discussing Eitzah, that's how you come to a Yeshua. But we see that these two are synonymous, Yeshua and Eitzah. Ula hepech rachmon al-tzlan, and the opposite also holds true. Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Ha'im ein ez rosabi, is there no, can you get no assistance from me? V'tushio nidcha mimeni, and a Yeshua is far from me? The Ezra over there, Ezra is a term that applies to Eitzah. When somebody helps you, again, the most outstanding example of somebody helping you is giving you a good piece of advice. So here it says, is there no Ezra in me, and Tushio is Nidcha for me? So therefore, Rabbi Nosson Zal has shown now a number of things. He hooked up a whole bunch of things here. He showed how Hashem is Kiddusha V'Tara. Tumah is opposite of Hashem, which means it's the opposite of Emuna, because Emuna is the thing that links you most to Hashem. Therefore, Avodah Zarah, Kfirus, all of those things are the opposite of Kiddush and Tara. And that's why the Gemara says, Avodah Zarah is Koilel Tumas Nida, Tumas Mes, Tumas Sheretz, all in one, that kind of thing. How do we purify ourselves from Tumah normally? The Halacha says you do it from going into water, into a mikveh. Rav Nosson is showing you, look how this corresponds to Rav Enazal's Eitzah. Rav Enazal said that when your emuna becomes defective, you need mayim amukim Eitzah b'levish. You need Eitzahs to fix up the emuna. And Eitzahs are synonymous with mayim amukim. We have he's showing us that Eitzah is synonymous with Yeshua. That's why the pasuk says, mikveh is Yeshua. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, moishioi be'eis tzara. U'sha'aftem mayim besosoin. You'll draw waters, mimaynei ha'yeshua. We see that water is Yeshua. Because if water is Eitzah, if water is the symbol of Eitzah, then water is also the symbol of Yeshua. And what is Eitzah? Where does Eitzah come from? Eitzah means brains, right? We assume that who do you go to for Eitzah? You go to a Chacham, right? And the Chacham, based on his brains, gives you Eitzah. The Arizal says that Mayim is actually Das. We're going to find in Likutei Halachos many times, it's going to say the term Meimei Hadas. Why is Mayim Das? Because Das is a combination of Chachma and Bina, right? Chachma is referred to by the letter Yud. Yud is Chachma. Yud, the tenth sphere is Chachma number one, and Rashi in Chumash on Oz Yoshir Moshe says it should have said Shor Moshe. Why does it say Yud? Yud al Shem Hamachshavon Emra. Yud is always Chachma. Mem is Bina. The Pasuk says Ben. The Mishnah says in Perkei Avos Ben Arboim Lebina. So that the Arizal says the word Mayim is actually Chachma in the middle, surrounded by Bina. The two Mems on the outside represent the Bina, which encircles the Chachma in the middle. The spheroids are like concentric circles, in a sense. So you have the Chachma in the middle, surrounded by Bina. That's what water represents. Water represents Das, Eitzah, the concept of Eitzah, which is the highest degree of Shleimus Hadas.
Why Bina Mem?
It's a mission in Perkei Avos. Ben Arboim Lebina. When a person reaches 40 years old, that's when they have Bina. Ben Arboim. That's why a mikveh is Arboim So Bedavka. Mikveh is supposed, because mikveh represents Bina. We'll learn about it. You follow? Let's continue. So Rav Nosson Zal says, V'alkein Baboiker. There, now you can understand why in the morning, Al-Yedei Mitzvahs Netilas Yadayim Bamayim, through a Jew washing his hands with water, Makolshkein, especially kishetoivlim b'mikvah umayon, especially if a Jew is zeicher to go to the mikvah in the morning, he toivels in a mikvah or in a mayon, al yidei ze mamshichim hamayim mimayne hayeshua. The Jew draws upon himself the waters that come from the well springs of salvation. Hanal, Shehem Bechinas Mayim Amukim Eitza. This represents those deep waters which we said represent the source of Eitza. Shaydeze Gedelo Hoemuna. We had said that that's what's needed to give the to cause the emuna to grow. The emuna represents like a plant that needs to be watered to grow. Shemetaheres mikol hatumos. The emuna, which is the thing that purifies a person from all tumas, because emuna is what attaches you to Hashem. Just like avodah zarah is the epitome of tuma, the opposite of avodah zarah is emuna. The opposite of idol worship is faith. Faith represents the highest degree of purity. This is what Rav Nosson Zal wanted to say here now. He wanted to explain the going to the bathroom, which represents the removing of the psoil. Going to the bathroom represents shleimus tikkun ho'achila, because he explained how a tzaddik, you know, by a tzaddik there's all the levels of refinement in eating, you know, not eating what's unkosher, and within kosher only eating what's healthy, that kind of thing. And then after he eats, there's that final birur of going to the bathroom and removing the last trace of psoilus, which had to be there based on the pegam of the Eitz Hadas. So now that's, so we see, and what does that do? That makes it that what remains inside afterwards is the ultimate purity. The food that he retains at that point is super pure, which means that's the food that's ready to feed the neshama. That food is what feeds the neshama. When the neshama is fed, it's tzach tzachos. There's that tzach tzachos hanefesh. Vehizbia betzach tzachos nafshecha. By the tzaddik who is oichel as soiva nafsho, as the pasuk says. The neshama shines, he becomes the ish tvunois, who's worthy of drawing the waters which are needed to water the emuna. That's the concept of the going to the bathroom after eating. The going to the bathroom, I'm saying the washing hands after coming out of the bathroom. That washing hands is drawing these waters, mimaine ha-yeshua, these waters which refer to Yeshua, these waters which refer to Eitza, mayim amukim Eitza b'levish, which is the things that feed the emuna. That's what nourishes the emuna. Why does the emuna need to be fed in the morning? Because the pasuk said, "Chadoshim labekorim rav emuna secha," that the morning is the time when the emuna gets its new injection. Every morning, the emuna is supposed to be refreshed. So this is all part of that process of refreshing and renewing the emuna. Yes.
The mind is like the most undifferentiated thing there is in the world. It's complete, you know, it's like Golem. It's simple.
You mean it's one of the simplest items in the world, correct?
Right, and it's undifferentiated, you know, doesn't have parts. It all sticks together and it all becomes one gush, right? And Tvuna is building, is putting things together, this next to this next to this. So it's hard for me. I mean, on one hand, I can understand. You know, I have a sense of how mind and this is purifying, and that it would lead to understanding.
Right.
On the other hand, it's sort of a transformation.
I hear what you're saying. This thing that you're saying about mind being tvuna and tvuna being bona, I never heard it. I don't know. Maybe that, you know, could be there is such a thing, and could be it's related to a certain, you know, a certain concept. But on a general level, water represents das. Words, the Torah is compared to mayim. The Gemara says, why do we compare Torah to mayim? That just like water flows from a high place to a low place, so too Torah only goes to somebody that's humble. And the Torah again is sechel, it's das, it's chochma, bino, and das, which the Arizal says are nichval and mayim. This term meimei hadas.
But these eights, in other words, it's not talking about, okay, you know, the eights of Torah, it's not talking about I get some kind of a message written out on a petek.
Not on a petek, but Hashem has billions of ways of a person getting advice. You run into somebody in the street, a person wants to buy a house, let's say, and they just happen to run into a guy who knows the guy that they want to buy the house from and tells them, I know you can trust this guy 100%. Or the opposite. So a person's about to do something, and they happen to meet someone amazing. I didn't see this guy for 3 weeks, and just now I happened to see him, and I told him what I was about to do, and he says, don't you dare do it because of X reason. And if I wouldn't have run into that person, I never would have known. That's one tiny example of how Hashem has so many billions of ways of sending messages to a person.
Right?
Yes.
In other words, it's crying out and calling on that deep place.
Right. We're saying that there's a number of ways to tap into that. Rav Nosson Zal is saying that one of the ways that you tap into that is by washing your hands in the morning. by going to mikveh in the morning. A person is plugging themselves into this mayim amukvim etz b'levish. They're making themselves available to receive the etzah. And without that, you're gonna want to scream to Hashem, Hashem, why didn't you tell me what to do? How could you expect me to know what to do? You didn't tell me. And Hashem's going to say, you silly. You didn't open a Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is loaded with advice. It says, what should you do? Go to Rabbi Yechim and wash your hands. You thought washing your hands was a silly thing? Little, you thought it was just for cleanliness? Little did you know that the second you wash your hands, by magic, you're tapping into this resource called Mayim Amukim Eitzah B'Levish. You're plugging into Yeshua, Mayne HaYeshua, that your Yeshua could have come just from the washing of the hands. Or this thing about going to the mikveh, you think it's only for girls? People, again, certain people who say, mikveh's for women, everybody, the chassidim are cuckoo. And they don't know that there's 4 million deep reasons for going to the mikveh, and it accomplishes that the emunah of a person is affected in a major, major way by water, by going into water, and not the shower, but that's good, a mikveh, which taps into this, the shower also, physical cleanliness, something, but in this way that we're talking about here, mayim amukim eitzah b'levish, that's talking about a mikveh, that's what you can tap into, you know. Right. Shoyev the mayim.
Yeah, I mean, it's constantly talking about the idea of like drawing out this water.
Right.
It doesn't have to be like looking at the seed and
living by it. Exactly. Or a person learns something. A person opens a sefer and gets them. Two people open the same sefer. One person gets the message and the other person doesn't. Two people are learning the same Gemara. One person gets an etzah from it as to what to do. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch. The Chidozal says that one of the etzahs that tzaddikim use when they're not sure about what to do is they'll take a sefer and they'll open it up and they'll look. And then they'll close the sefer and boom, they'll tell you what your etzah is. Now the question is, and somebody else will try to do the same thing and they'll open up 400 sefarim and they'll either get zero message or they'll get bad messages. How come it works for the tzaddik? Because he's plugged into these things where the sefer talks to him. Literally. His eyes will focus on just the right word and Hashem will send him the message from the right place. It's brought that somebody once came to the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh and they wanted to ask him, they had sent oxen, you know, from one city to the next across a river and they hadn't gotten a message as to whether the oxen had arrived. So they asked the Baal Shem Tov, can you help me? You're a seer. Can you tell? Can you see? So he said to him, bring me the Zohar HaKadosh. So he took the Zohar HaKadosh out of the shelf, he looked at it, he opened the page, he closed it, he said, your oxen had arrived safely. So he said to him, what do you mean, my oxen are in the Zohar HaKadosh? He said to him, what do you think it's a joke? When Hashem created the world, the Gemara says, that when Hashem created the world, istakel bo'iraisa, he looked into the Torah, and the Torah was the blueprint for creation. In a blueprint, when your architect does your apartment, in the blueprint, on that piece of paper, every single detail of what's going to be in that apartment is there, every nikud chashmal, where the radiators are going to be, where this is. So yes, your oxen are in the Torah, just you don't have the eyes to see it, and I do. That's the difference. The Baal Shem Tov knew all the procedures, the mikveh, and the this and that, all the things which open a person's eyes and make the and purify the neshama and make the person available to access, to tap into all of this information. And another person looks at the same Zohar HaKadosh, and it's nice, it's Musar, it's Halacha, but they couldn't imagine in their wildest dream that it's also a telescope. Right?
Can we assume that somebody doesn't feel like they need to go to the bathroom in the morning, but they should try anyway?
The impression that I have is that a person should... people aren't physically made the same, for sure, so you can't say that what applies to one person applies to everybody else. But the way the Shulchan Aruch presents it, a person should try to train their system that's when they go. That they go at least once in the morning, you know, after getting up, before Shacharis. If a person can't, they're not held liable. Chas v'shalom, you know. Okay, here he showed you two ways. He showed you the washing hands coming out of the bathroom, and he showed you going to the mikveh. Both are tapping into the same source. Mayim amukim eitzah b'levish. I showed you how Mayim is Chochman Bina, for starters. Eitzah comes, Eitzah is considered to be the final product of Sechel. Person writes a program, let's say, you know, the end result of it, knows from a person, all of a person's learning, the tachlis of all learning is to get to Eitzah, right? And that's the Torah. Where's the source of Eitzah? There's a pasuk in Mishlei where it says, "Li Eitzah v'sushia." To me, in me is found advice. And the Gemara says the Torah is compared to water. So again, there's another proof that water is Eitzos. That's what it is. Here he's not addressing that. Here he's addressing the going to the bathroom and washing hands afterwards. And he's showing the significance of those two steps. There are other places. There's a whole chapter called Hilchos Netilas Yadayim Shachris about Negel Vaser, where Rabbi Nosson Zal discusses all the different things that happen when you do that. That he didn't say, that here. He didn't mention that. He didn't mention that word. That's a matter of custom, that halacha and custom to a degree. There are some opinions that say that the washing the hands coming out of the bathroom should be bedafka outside the bathroom completely. That's the impression it's gotten to a degree from the Shulchan Aruch. But there are many, many opinions that hold that that refers to the old day bathrooms, you know, where in the bathroom itself was complete tumah, whereas our modern bathrooms, which have toilet bowls and cover, and you flush, when you flush, the waste matter leaves completely, you know, et cetera, et cetera. There are many rabbis that say that you're definitely permitted to wash your hands inside the bathroom. You have both opinions. The acharkach meinichin tzitzis utfilin shel yad v'shel roish. Now, after going to the bathroom, and after washing hands, then you put on tzitzis, and the tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel roish. Shaydei kol zeh misaknin kol atikunim hanal. By doing these things, you're affecting all the tikunim that we discussed earlier, kanal, as was explained before. That was all the tikunim that I mentioned in that chapter in the Likutei Moran, of the mayim, which is the etzos, of the ish tevunos, of the hamshochas ruchnis lakus l'tech tzimtzumim, and all of those things. So far, he's shown you how all of these things are accomplished physically by getting up at chatzos, by putting on tzitzis, by putting on tefillin shel yad, tefillin shel roish, and by going to the bathroom and washing your hands. He covered those six physical activities, are what he explained so far, and he showed us how those six tie into the tikkunim that Rabbeinu Zal mentions in that chapter in Likutei Moran. V'chol zeh oisin biyuvda. This is all being accomplished in physical action. V'acharkach tzrichem lasis kol ha-tikkunim o'ela b'milula. Once you've done these tikkunim through physical actions, the getting up in the morning, getting up at chatzos was a physical act, getting out of bed. The putting on tzitzis was physical action. The putting on the tefillin shiyat, tefillin shiroish is physical. The going to the bathroom and washing hands, all be'uvda. After you finish doing these tikkunim be'uvda, you have to first go ahead and do them now b'milula, with dibur. Kemuva b'zoyar u'bekavonois, as is brought in the Zohar Kodesh and in the Kisvei Arizal, shetzrichem l'sakein kol ha'olamos be'uvda u'bemilula, that it's a Jew's responsibility every single morning to make a tikkun for all the worlds on two levels, in action and in speech. It's two separate sets of tikkunim that are done. So far we discussed the uvda. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to go into the milula. He's going to show how in the different parts of our tefillah, shel shachris, we push all of these buttons. We push the different buttons that Rabbeinu Zal said in that chapter in the Likutei Moran are needed for tikkun ho'emunah. Rabbeinu Zal says in this part in the Likutei Moran that when a person eats, there's an immediate result of the person getting tired, like, and not being able to think clearly. And Rabbeinu Zal proves that from certain places. That because of the fact that achila has in it this gashmius and this psoilus and everything, there is a certain effect like that. Now, that's one example of problem. Second problem, depending on what a person eats, sometimes a person eats something that's not good for them, and again, it results in physical gases. It causes a reaction of the body where instead of digesting the food well and properly and smoothly, it's a rough going, and the person's stomach acts up from it, etc., and there's physical, causing that physical problem. Rabbi Nazal takes it a step further and says that you should know that as a result of eating, the results of eating affect the brain. There are certain vapors, in a sense, from the food that are supposed to go up and affect the brain. If the person eats achila b'kedusha, the effects are positive. It increases the person's seichel, gives them the ability to think more, just like the Gemara says. We gave the example. Somebody came to ask a rabbi a shaila, and he said to him, I can't answer yet. The next morning he came to him, he said, now I can answer you because I ate meat. So I'm able to give you the answer to your question. Rabbi Nazal says, we see from there that achila can be a tikkun amoyach. It can give the person the ability to understand better and clearer, Or if the person eats unkosher or treif, or a person eats improperly, then Rabbi Nazal talks about what you just said, these bad vapors going up to the brain and clouding the brain and causing the person to see unclearly.